Hey everybody, how you doing? What is up? And welcome to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, bringing real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. Chad, Andy, and Brett gathered together once again. How we doing, gentlemen?
I'm good, man. I am good.
That is becoming your token response. I guess it is a great response to that question. When someone asks you how you're doing, you usually say good, but that's becoming Andy's follow-up line for the how you doing question. And Brett, what's happening in the Mississauga region these days? How's it going with you?
Good, man. I just walked in the door not too long ago. I had dinner with my little brother. He came in from London to pick up my mom's car for the weekend. And just as we were starting this, I realized that I forgot my leftovers at the restaurant.
God damn it. Was it good quality food that you left behind?
Chicken wings and ribs.
Wow. You couldn't decide, so you went for both. Is that what happened?
Well, I mean, my mom's not home tonight. She went up to the up north to look at a cottage. And so I figured if I had leftovers, I would have just taken them to work. I need to game plan a plan B.
Well, yeah, you screwed that one right up. Where'd you leave them? Like right on the table?
Right on the table.
Ouch. To answer your question, though, Chad, chicken and ribs is a pretty standard combo at a restaurant.
Oh.
I can't decide, so I'm just going to get both.
I guess that's a great point. I need to eat more Swiss Chalet. No, where'd you, it wasn't Swiss Chalet, was it, Brett?
It was Chuck's Roadhouse.
There you go.
Well, I've heard that. Is it worth the hype?
I've been to Chuck's Roadhouse maybe three times now, and it's not terrible. It seems to be a pretty busy spot every time I go. So,
how is their accessibility there? Because we have to ask that question.
You know, it's funny. The location that we stopped in at tonight, we've been going there probably since we were 18, 19 years old. I think it was one of the first bars that we ever walked into. No, it's been many, many establishments since Tanner and I I don't want to say kids. That doesn't sound right.
We've been in bars since we were kids.
Yeah. No, but I mean, we acted like children back then, but I think we were acting like children an hour and a half ago. So
fantastic. That's it's always good to act like a kid every now and then, I suppose. Listen, this is maybe a little off topic, but not really. Wasn't really what we were going to talk about tonight. But I wonder if you've heard of this, Brett. My cousin, I have a cousin in the Toronto area who did some work for the Rick Hansen Foundation a little while ago, and he was telling me about an app for accessibility. And I'm going to look a little bit naive now because I don't know anything about it. But apparently, there's an app now that helps you track accessibility of establishments. So if you are looking for a place to eat, or a park, or a swimming pool, or whatever the case may be, you can look it up on this app. And of course, it's all user generated, so users have to input the information based on accessibility from everything from the bathroom facilities to stairs to get in, this, that, and the other. Have you guys heard anything about that?
Actually, I'm actually looking at it right now.
Beautiful. So you do know about it, or maybe you just have very fast thumbs and you just researched it right now.
If it's the same one that I'm thinking of, I think it's a Toronto-based app. I know the girl that developed it.
Oh, that's cool. I think the intention was, of course, to branch it out into, you know, bigger communities and maybe eventually try and go nationwide with it. But of course, you need the user input to do that. But I think it's a pretty fantastic thing to do. I mean, as a courtesy, if I'm going to a place that I've never been to, I usually make a call, or sometimes you don't. Sometimes, I mean, I'm a fairly mobile guy, so sometimes I just go and hope for the best. But I think it's got a lot of value, so I hope it ends up taking off.
What constitutes you making that call? Like, how involved? Like, if you're just going out for a night, I don't assume you make a call before. But like, if you're going on vacation, then you call? Or
For sure. If I'm just going out, I'm just showing up and hoping for the best. I have used it when I am out of the area, or in the case of where you have a large group and you want to make sure, because I mean, I've had to have been separated from large groups because the venue wasn't accessible. I've had staff parties at the end of the year where they booked the party room not knowing that it was downstairs, which is quite funny that they didn't, you know, think to ask that question. But I mean, I know people that would get offended by that. Well, why didn't you think to ask that? But I mean, it doesn't bother me one bit. In that case, I literally just sort of butted myself down the stairs and had colleagues of mine carry my chair down. There was a washroom down there once I got there, so it wasn't that much of an issue, but kind of funny. I love those deer in the headlights moments when the one guy in the wheelchair shows up for this staff party, which happens to be in the party room downstairs, right? And they look at you like you've got two heads as opposed to legs that don't work.
Do you remember, you probably, I hope you remember, but it was after your accident and they had that thing at the powerhouse?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember the ramp?
That's a great story. We're going to get to the content here today eventually, I promise. Let's back up a little bit. I think I might have – we've been doing this. I think this is going to be episode 19, which is really kind of cool, Andy. And this was kind of your baby, and we've just kind of kept going with it. And since Brett has been involved, it's been even better. But I think a few episodes back, I might have told the story. If I didn't, Andy's mentioning my accident. Of course, I was born with cerebral palsy, but that is not an accident, or it could be depending on who you ask, but we won't open that can of worms. The accident that Andy's referring to, I actually broke my left femur in a car accident about 9 years ago, I would suppose, because my daughter was just an infant at the time. It was Christmas Day. We were driving to Sudbury from Hamilton to try to get to my uncle's for Christmas dinner. We left later than I wanted to, and of course, when you've got your own little kids, you get up to your own Christmas. And so we weren't really rushing to leave. Of course, we ended up getting hit by a massive snowstorm, white out, and we couldn't see in front of us. And my wife just hit some black ice on Highway 69 North. Car spun out and we hit the guardrail. The rest of my family was uninjured, but because of how brittle my legs are to begin with, I actually snapped my femur clean in half. So that was no fun. Very, very painful. I have told this story because I usually make those jokes about how I wish I couldn't feel my legs. Unfortunately, I can, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But yeah, they had a benefit for me to help sort of raise some money for me because I was supply teaching at the time. And of course, I couldn't work because I had this accident. So they organized a sort of benefit, sort of concert kind of evening for me at a venue called the Powerhouse here in Stony Creek. And they booked a lot of my friends to play music and all this stuff. They've got a great little party room in the back that's got about two or three stairs going down. And so a lot of people had sat there because they were open to the general public that night, but we had quite a few people there that were there for my benefit. So I wanted to go downstairs to mingle with everybody. And I asked them if they had a ramp. And this was hilarious. This was Andy. This is what Andy was getting to before I stole all the thunder and started ranting about it. This ramp was not a ramp. It was
it was a slide.
Yeah. It was literally two tracks, a left and a right, that I had to line my wheels up with. I assume they use these things maybe getting kegs up and down or like really, really heavy things, dollies and cargo and stuff. Anyways, it wasn't just a slide. Like this thing was not up to code. It was as steep as it gets. And it was just intense. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I just broke my leg and now I'm going to die trying to get downstairs. But yeah, that was an interesting night. Okay, so since we've had Brett on and we've promoted Brett, he's received his promotion package and no longer being a friend of the show but a co-host, we've got this little group chat going and we like to send each other ideas through the week. This week, Andy hit us with something which made me laugh. And I'm going to let Andy sort of take point on it, but out of nowhere, we get this text in our group chat that says, guys, I think I'm going to learn to ride a bike. And this is where I let you go, Andy. Explain to the internet why someone with your balance needs to learn to ride a bike at 38 years old.
Well, first of all, it's great exercise, being a fitness guy. I hate doing cardio because cardio for me – walking on a treadmill doesn't happen. So, I just thought it would be good exercise. Second of all, maybe most importantly, Maya is really into riding a bike, so I want to give it a shot. And Chad, you know Denise MacArthur, she's heading up this bike program, and anytime there's anything even remotely fitness or activity related, she'll send it to me and say, can you circulate this to whoever? And so I got the email, and I said that'd be really cool to look at. And she sent back and said, well, why don't you register for the program? And I gotta be honest, like, first of all, I thought it was for kids, and she said no. And then I said, well, I assume you have to have good balance. And she said, no, that's the whole point. And basically every objection I had, she had an answer for. So much for no excuses.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you mean she made no excuses for as to why you can't ride a bike? Yeah, there you go.
We're going to take a video camera and kind of recap every day as we do it, and yeah, hopefully people will want to see that. Otherwise, it's a big waste of time. So
it will not be a big waste.
Videotaping, I mean, not the bike.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. I would assume that you are more than willing and perhaps ready to embarrass yourself on video, because I mean, I love you like a brother, but I do not see this going well, at least at first.
Yeah, man, I am 100% skeptical of the success rate of this program. They say it's something like 80%, might even be higher than that, but I'm pretty sure that I will fall in that 20%.
you'll be the 20 in the 80.
Yeah, honestly, man, I don't know.
You don't foresee it going well?
No, I don't. But
have some confidence in yourself, young man.
Well, I mean, Denise said I fit the criteria, so I shouldn't have a problem. But
all right, we haven't heard Brett's voice in a few minutes. Brett, what do you think of the prospects or potential of Andy riding a bike?
Andy, when is this happening?
July 22nd, sir.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I've got 18 days to get all the safety equipment that you're going to need so you don't kill yourself.
Yeah, like, are we talking like bubble wrap?
At the very least, yes. I was thinking more of a bubble.
Listen, man, as long as I don't get anything in the mail that when I open it up is like a spandex leotard.
Wait a minute. If I sent you a spandex leotard, can you please just film yourself just once? I'll do it now. I hadn't even thought about it, but you just mentioned it. So now I'm going to go to Amazon Prime and find the coolest banana hammock that I can, and then ask you to, you know, spend day one on your bike in that.
I don't think anybody wants to see that. And like I said, I think the majority of the program is kids. So I don't want to scar these kids.
Do you think, what's the over under on you being, I guess maybe not, because I know Denise really well, and I know the kind of sort of all encompassing environments that she helps build and foster with all of her programming. But what's the over under on you being the oldest, if not one of the oldest people learning how to ride a bike there?
I put it at 99.9% that I'm old.
We're going to throw this out for the internet, and we're going to let the internet decide. Okay. Brett and I are big fans. I can't speak for Brett being a big fan, but I know that his preference is the CFL. Brett and I prefer the CFL over the NFL. Go ahead and hate me, internet, if you want. I get bored with the NFL game. Maybe it's because I don't want to see 2-yard run, 2-yard run, 2-yard run kick. I know if I see a short first down attempt in the CFL that I'm going to see the football. I'm going to see a big play. I maybe it's because I'm a shallow fan, but I love the excitement of the CFL game. I live in Hamilton, and ever since I got my my first sort of PVR with the ability to record and play back television years ago, I have made a point of watching all the Ticats games. I've only been to one live game at Tim Hortons Field here in the city, and Andy, I brought you with me. That was a great day. So live is a different story for me, but I will watch them all. And right now at this moment, as we tape on the 4th of July, happy 4th of July to any American listeners that we have. And I know there are a few. We're able to sort of track where our listeners are coming from online. And if you're listening from our neighbors down south, then we wish you and your nation a happy birthday. But anyways, as we sort of record this on the 4th of July, the Hamilton Tiger Cats are involved in a game against the Montreal Alouettes right now, which I am pausing and going to go back to later. But anyways, Andy, you are a fan of the American game.
100%. It's funny you say American friends and family.
Oh, yes. You've got some of those.
Yeah, my mom's from the Pittsburgh area, so it is not an exaggeration to say growing up Steelers all the way. We would anytime we were down there, if it was football season, everybody gathers around the TV to watch the Steelers, right? My grandma is the most intense Steeler fan that I know. She is insane. And funny story, the first time I took Amanda down to kind of meet the family when things were getting serious, I was saying, we're going to be there for the football game, and whatever you do, don't fall asleep on a couch after lunch, because my grandma will she'll wake you up and tell you to move, right?
You are in my spot.
Yeah, sure enough, we have lunch. Amanda falls asleep. My grandma wakes her up, and not like gently, she like shakes her. I'm not exaggerating. Amanda will verify the story if we ever get her on here, but and tells her to sleep in the bed that was prepared for her because she's taking up spots for people to watch the game.
That's awesome.
So anyways, yeah, I'm a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan because we live in Hamilton, but
my condolences. My condolences
for living in the Hammer or being a Tiger Cat fan.
No, for living in the Hammer.
I don't know if I'd change that, buddy, but anyways, so I follow the Tiger Cats because they're the team, but I don't know, the quality of the game is just it's not comparable to me. Like the athletes are better in the NFL. No disrespect to anybody, athletes in the CFL, but the bar is a lot higher in the American game. Sorry to say, boys.
I mean, fair enough. Well, let's sort of jump away. If you are interested in sports, of course, you can go ahead and check out the Neutral Zone. Brett's other podcast is a lot more sports related. I want to get back to the theme of disability and sort of overcoming obstacles. I love that you have accepted the challenge to ride a bike, Andy. Brett, you have any experience? And again, we'll throw back to Brett. He's been sort of talking minimally, with the exception of insulting our fair city. But do you have any experience? Here's a question I never thought I'd ask Brett. Do you have any experience riding a bike?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so now you need to clarify, because now I'm picturing, you know, the awkwardness of you being strapped to a bike. I'll get to my strapped to a bike story in a second.
I had a three-wheel bike that I pedaled with my legs from the time I was 7 until I was 13. Then I graduated, and I'm so proud of this. I graduated to a 10 speed with adult training wheels.
Okay.
And now, even though I haven't been on it in a number of years. It's probably been 7 or 8 years. I have a hand cycle sitting in my garage.
Okay, now the hand cycle is Andy's got some experience on a hand cycle as well. For if you're listening and trying to sort of visualize what that is, a hand cycle is strapped to a wheelchair, correct?
There are varying variations. There are different variations of what a hand cycle is.
Can we pause for a minute?
Sure thing.
Did you just say there are varying variations?
Yes, and he didn't stutter while he said it.
Yeah.
Okay, so and that's just my ignorance. The only hand cycles that I have ever used, actually in my brief sort of cup of tea at Easter SEALs camps, they would bring some hand cycles for demonstration. And so the ones that I've used have been sort of normal wheelchairs that you sit in, and then you sort of crank it with your hand. And of course, there's multiple speeds, and you can go, you know, much faster than a normal chair.
I mean, I grew up with riding bikes with my brothers and with my brother and my sisters, like most kids do, I would assume. And then I'm sure you guys are familiar with the adult tricycle. Tried that out. And
you had a workman cycle. Did it have a basket on the back or front?
Yeah, I think it only came in one color. It was blue.
Yep, I literally have a blue one in my shed right now.
And yeah, they had the basket on the back because the geniuses who designed it were like, what else are you going to put there? We have to put a basket.
Here's my experience with bikes. I have the workman cycle in my shed right now, not being used. I grew up, again, with sort of big wheels, trikes, things like that. And then, as Brett alluded to, graduated to a 10-speed bike. Now, I have a sort of a funny story about my 10-speed. So my legs, because of the CP, still are fairly spastic in that they would, if I was going to try to pedal the bike, my legs would slip off the pedals and fall off the pedals all the time, constantly on almost every rotation of the pedals. My feet would slip. So not only did I have the adult training wheels, as Brett sort of alluded to, although I'm fairly certain my dad is a very handy guy, if he could save a buck and do modifications himself, he will. And so I am fairly certain that my adult training wheels were the wheels off of a bundle buggy for groceries that my dad had rigged up himself. So I not only had those, but my dad decided, as he watched me struggle to try to keep my feet on the pedals, he decided to build these little brackets and attach them to the pedals, and then use Velcro so that I would literally strap my feet to the pedals. So this was great because I was really good at going straight. I could go straight very, very easily. But I vividly remember a trip to Niagara Falls with my parents. And we were on some bike trail. It was gorgeous, all through the trees in this awesome little area. And I had it up to a good clip. I was following my mom and my dad, who were each on their own bikes. And I think there's something to be said about the holy cow, I'm doing it, or you know, it's not any different. I'm able to do what my friends would be doing. And
go ahead. Aside from the contraption, your dad
would. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Holy crap, I'm doing it myself on this modified bike that I couldn't do without my father. But anyways, yeah, so I was cooking. We're going real fast. My parents, my dad, I think my mom was behind me, and I was in the middle of my mom and my dad. My dad took a corner pretty fast. And I tried to take that same corner pretty fast on a bike that had training wheels. And then I bit the pavement really, really hard, except my feet were strapped to the bike. So I didn't fall off the bike. I fell with the bike, and the bike fell on top of me. And I just sort of slid on pavement along with my bike. And it was like, oh, I did not enjoy that at all. I remember falling on my right side, and so yeah, I had some solid road rash all along my right arm from sort of wrist to elbow as I had attempted to brace my fall while being strapped to my bike. I don't know if it would have been better if I could have flown off the bike. But I remember it being a very sort of awkward fall. Like I'm just falling like a tree as my bike is just falling with me and collapsing on top of me. And I, you know, just continued to slide and eat pavement. So that was no fun. Okay, so for better or worse, Andy, we've got some details and we know sort of why you have sort of taken up this challenge of riding this bike. So enlighten me, because I don't know too many details about the program. I know you said it's kind of for all ages and you think you're going to be the old guy, and I think that that's kind of awesome. I would call yourself a mentor to the young people. It will sound much better. Is it like a summer camp, like a drop-in? There's set hours, is that right?
Yeah, when we registered, we had to check off like our preferred time. So my time slot is 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning because nobody else wanted that. So the way it works is they have these modified bikes to start, right? Like just basically there's no way to fall off them, like giant tires. And so eventually I guess you improve and they make adjustments throughout. By the Friday, potentially you're riding your own bike. So but before the 22nd of July, I have to go purchase a bike. It's just so bizarre to me because they send you an information package, right? And you gotta, they give you a whole list of bikes they recommend. But I gotta go into a, we might actually film this too, because I think it'll be funny. But I gotta go into like a bike shop or a Canadian Tire and be like, I'm here to buy a bike. Oh, wait, what are you looking for? I have no idea.
Something.
You wanna take it for a spin? Nope, can't ride it yet. Like,
please document this. Please document it and stream it for the world on the Ability Fitness Facebook page over social media so that we can all laugh at you. I mean, respect the hell out of you. That's what I mean. So your personal goal then, just so that I'm understanding, would be at the end of this week, and forgive me if I hope it's not a lofty goal. Maybe it is, but it is the goal an hour a day for a week to be able to ride a two-wheel bike without any sort of balance assistance?
Yeah, that's wow. What the program boasts they can do. And if anybody's going to put that to the test, I think it's going to be me. Because my balance is not good.
I have literally watched you fall over from a strong gust of wind before, so I'm interested to see how this whole thing goes.
On a serious note, they are looking for volunteers, so we will post a link with all the information. It's summertime, kids are looking for their volunteer hours. This is a good way to get some of that done, so put that up there as well. But honestly, guys, I've said it before a few times already, I don't see this going well, but
I love that you are willing to do it regardless. I think that is awesome. And man, you might surprise yourself. I'm proud of you for doing it, because I wouldn't want to do it. I mean, with all due respect to Denise, who I know well, I would have a hard time with the sort of prospect of me doing that. And I try to sort of conquer everything that I can, but there's nothing even appealing to me about that. So awesome that you are setting that goal for yourself. Well, I wish you the best. And I know that we will hopefully see some video evidence and most definitely talk about the results on a future episode. So you can look forward to that, internet community. And I've always mentioned it on every episode, and I will again. We just continually want to thank you for your support, wherever you're listening from, however you are listening. Thank you again for supporting us in this journey. This is now our, as I think I said earlier, going to be our 19th episode, and it's trucking along pretty well, and hope that we are bringing some light to some different situations. And at the very minimum, maybe you're just getting a laugh out of our crazy lives, but we appreciate you nonetheless. So thanks very much.
We're putting a little twist on the offside this week.
Yeah.
Bretzky, you have the floor.
Yeah. So set it up for those that haven't seen sort of what we're going to be chatting about today, because we'll get into it. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's been well documented throughout the last number of weeks that I am part of another podcast, The Neutral Zone, with AMI Audio, where we do a sports show. And with that, we need to keep in tune with what's happening with the world of sports, and whether it's signings, trades, championships, guys being injured and whatnot. So this week I was perusing social media, and the NBA free agent signing period has officially been bestowed upon us. And Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have officially decided to sign with the New Jersey Brooklyn Nets. And so there was a meme that I came across or a picture that I came across this week welcoming them to the Brooklyn Nets. And it was obviously Kyrie standing, dribbling a basketball, and Kevin Durant sitting in a wheelchair, dribbling a basketball because he has a torn ACL, I believe. No.
Achilles.
Yes.
Okay. So here's where we're going to chat about it again. This image, Brett sent it to us. And I mean, I'm not afraid to admit that I laughed hysterically. I thought it was so funny. I was not offended one bit. But again, Kyrie, they've got them both standing there in their new jerseys, their Brooklyn Nets colors. Kyrie is standing there dribbling a ball, and they have sort of photoshopped Kevin Durant into a wheelchair dribbling a ball. And I thought it was great. I'm laughing about it, even thinking about it. I'm sure it offended people, and that's maybe why we want to sort of tie it into the offside moment, because this is this kind of stuff that, you know, makes us laugh and maybe should be offensive but isn't. I don't know. Were either of you guys offended by it, or did you just laugh at it?
Yeah, like you, I just thought it was funny. I mean, if you're offended, if you have a disability, or if, even if you don't, and you're offended by that, I think there is far more offensive things on the internet.
And that's one thing maybe I want to be clear about, is, you know, we're not wishing this on Kevin Durant. And obviously, like any athlete, it's heartbreaking. We may have all watched the game. We know that he probably had no business playing in that game, and all with the state of his Achilles as it was. But anyways, it's awesome to me that someone, and maybe I'm a jerk, but I don't think so, that somebody had, you know, that sort of sick sense of humor like I do, and went there and made that joke, and it made me laugh.
I think who knows what the intent was. Was it meant to be lighthearted? Only the guy that made the picture can know that, right?
Yeah.
But if it was meant to be offensive, I certainly didn't take it that way. I just – it's funny, man. You gotta laugh at that kind of stuff, because, like I said, the world is a pretty brutal place sometimes.
Realistically – It was somebody that was just trying to make light of the situation. The guy is definitely not playing basketball next year. And, we don't know who even created it. It could have been somebody that uses a wheelchair. So, I mean, get your head out of your butt if you didn't like it, and just learn to laugh a little bit. If you're a person with a disability, I can kind of understand why you might be offended. If you're a person without a disability and you're offended, thanks for being offended for me, but I get offended by things that actually matter to me, that affect my day-to-day. So just get off of it. Leave it alone.
I'm with you, man. I think the world is far too easily offended. My running joke is that...
So did you just say running joke?
yes, it's a running joke, even though I can't run. I say all the time that I get lots of comments and compliments about my sense of humor from students, from colleagues, from people in one quick conversation with me as I make those jokes. And goodness knows I've got enough of them. I like to say that I learned at an early age to laugh at myself, because if I can't laugh at myself, then I shouldn't be laughing at other people. And I really like to laugh at other people. So I just learned to laugh at myself as well. All right, that brings it to a close once again for us tonight. Listen, we ranted a lot. We told a lot of jokes tonight. We probably offended some people out there. But again, no excuses. that's sort of how we roll. Oh, there's another one. Pardon the pun. Again, we deeply appreciate the support that you have had for this little podcast journey of ours as we continue to sort of move forward and gain momentum. Thanks again for being a part of it. You can go back and check out all the old episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, whatever podcatching device you are using. We deeply appreciate the support that you've given us. Brett, Andy, always a pleasure, boys. You guys were in fine form tonight. Thanks for laughing and keeping it real.
Yeah, thanks for doing your thing, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks again. We appreciate you, and thanks for all your support. Once again, you have been listening to the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Chad, Brett, and Andy saying goodnight. Cheers.